Tonight, what we want to look upon here from this chapter of Numbers 23 is the deliverance found in the God of our salvation. We see here tonight in this portion of God's Word a great contrast. We see here that the people of God, redeemed by His precious blood, can not and will not ever be cursed. And rather, on the other hand, we see tonight that the one who was seeking to curse the people of God, rather it was that the curse of God rested upon them because that they were outside of God's remnant, outside the camp of God's people. You know, many times in the land, in the experiences of God's people, we are unaware of the evil schemes that the enemy has plotted against you and I. We have to only think upon Job. There in Job chapter 1, we see how that the devil secretly plotted against God's servant Job. If we think upon the Apostle Peter, in Luke chapter 22, we are told that the devil, he says to Christ, "I have desired Peter to sift him as wheat." And here we see that in this chapter before us this evening, evil men are plotting the destruction of God's people Israel. Yet here we see that God's covenant people knew nothing about this whatsoever. This hellish plan here unfolded in these chapters was concocted in the mind of Balak, king of Moab. Israel here is now at the very borders of Moab. They are on their journey to the promised land. Israel had already conquered a number of mighty nations there in the east side of Jordan. And so here the king of Moab, Balak, he is greatly afraid of God's people. And so here this evil king, Balak, he purposes in his heart to destroy Israel. It's not by military means, but rather he seeks by the wicked ministry of a false prophet named Balaam, who he employs to curse Israel and bring about Israel's downfall. He seeks to destroy Israel and bring them down. And what we must realize tonight here that Moses and the people of God, the children of Israel, they know nothing about this plan whatsoever. However, tonight the vital matter is that the Lord knew all about the desires and the schemes of Balak and of Balaam. And also unknown here to Israel is that the Lord God Jehovah stood up in Israel's defense and fought against Satan himself and overcome, with the result that none could prevail against God's people Israel. If we look at the verse 23, what does it say here? Balaam has to make this statement against the people of God. And he says in the verse 23, "Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel." There Balaam realizes this of God's people. He realizes that none can curse the people of God. And he goes on to say, "According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob, shall be said of Israel, what hath God wrought?" And Balaam here is stating that in the future, in the days to come, with reference to what he and Balak attempted to do against Israel in cursing them, that it would be proclaimed amongst the people of God, "What hath God wrought on behalf of his people?" In other words, it would be a matter of praise amongst the saints of God when they discovered that all hell had been secretly arrayed against them in the evil schemes of Balak and of Balaam, and how that God had done great things for them in defeating the enemies of the people of God. What we see here in the verse 23 of Numbers, in the chapter 23, is that Balaam, this false prophet, this servant of the devil, could not prevail against the God of Israel, and therefore he could not prevail against the nation of Israel as God's chosen people. What a mighty encouragement this is, and what a mighty encouragement here is found in such a truth for God's people even in these days. You know, there are many times when the church is unknown to them as individuals or as the church as a whole, many times unknown to them, they are the targets of satanic attacks there of the devil himself. Yet the powers of Satan are helpless against the true God of our salvation. If God be for us, the scripture says, who can be against us? And like Israel, God's people will discover that when Satan had planned some ruinous scheme in seeking to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, the Lord our God had stood up in our defence and accomplished the deliverance on our very behalf. Then we as God's people also will be able to cry with the words of verse 23, what hath God wrought on behalf of his people? And as we view this great chapter here of deliverance for the people of God in Israel's day, what a tremendous encouragement it is for the people of God, even in this day and age, to realize that this God is our God. And if he be for us, who can be against us? And in the previous verses, Balaam here, he is made to declare a number of clear fundamental truths and foundational truths of God's word that show to you and I tonight who God is and therefore what he does and what he accomplishes for his people. It is therefore of the utmost importance that the people of God today grasp what the Lord is to them, what he is to his people, and what he accomplishes for them. This is the very foundation of your security and of your safety against the enemy in these days. You must realize as a believer tonight what the Lord Jesus Christ hath accomplished, what God hath accomplished through Christ for you, and therefore in that liberty in these days we must stand. Dear unconverted friend tonight, you must realize that salvation alone is found in the Lord, and there is security, there is refuge alone in the Lord. You must be numbered with the people of God, that the curse of God may not rest upon you. We see clearly in this chapter that the children of Israel, although they knew nothing of this desire of Balaam and of Balak to curse Israel, they knew nothing about it, that the God of Israel stood up in their defense. He was on their side. Why? Was because that he was their God. You must be numbered with the righteous on that great judgment day, which you will stand before the Lord. You must have upon you the robes of his perfect righteousness, adopted into his family and into his fold. Repent even tonight and believe the gospel. So it is clear from this chapter that to be free from condemnation, to be free from the curse, you must be numbered with the people of God. And the first thing I want us to see from this chapter tonight is this, that God's purpose for his people is irreversible. I want you to grasp that tonight. God's purpose for his people is irreversible. Look with me there at the verse 20. What does it say in the verse 20 of the chapter 23? It says, this is Balaam here making this statement, the false prophet. He says, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. That is, God hath blessed this people. God hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Turn back with me to the chapter 22. Look what it says there in the verse 12. Here God comes and speaks to Balaam previously. And here Balaam is told in the verse 12, God says unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people. This is the people of God, for they are blessed. This here was a direct statement to Balaam, here of the impossibility of Balak's desire to be carried out. Balak wanted to curse the people of God, but God is stating here to this false prophet that it is impossible. When God has placed his blessing upon a people, it is impossible for any man, it is impossible for all hell to curse the people whom God hath blessed. Chapter 23 again, and the verse 20, I have received commandment to bless. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Balaam expresses what God had previously told him, and what he now knows to by experience to be true. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. They had desired to curse Israel. They had desired to curse the people of God. But here we see tonight that the blessing of God rested upon His covenant people. And what we see from this is that the people whom God has designed to bless will never be cursed. The people whom God hath designed to bless, even from all eternity, cannot and will not ever be cursed. It is an integral part of gospel truth that God has from all eternity purposed to bless His people with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Turn with me tonight to Ephesians chapter 1. And here we see the rendering of this tremendous truth that God hath purposed to bless His people through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He hath accomplished. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 3. Here we have these tremendous words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God's purpose for the blessing of His people stands firm and secure due to the very nature and being of God Himself. And I want you to grasp that tonight. I want you to grasp that statement that we've made, that God's purpose for the blessing of His people, it stands firm. It stands secure. Why? Due to the very nature and the very being of God Himself, through what He hath accomplished in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Balaam here in these verses, he is made to express this tremendous truth, the very nature, the very being of God in the blessing of His own people. And the first thing that Balaam here is made to express in this chapter is found in the verse 19, in the first part of the verse 19, where he makes this tremendous statement. God is not a man that He should lie. And here we have revealed for us tonight God's divine integrity. God is not a man that He should lie. Dishonesty is foreign to the very nature, to the very being of God. Titus 1 and verse 2 says, God that cannot lie. Hebrews 6 and the verse 18 tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. And here the first thing that this false prophet realizes, he realizes God's divine integrity. He realizes when God makes a statement, He cannot lie. The scriptures clearly tell us tonight that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That statement does not come from man. That statement originates from God Himself. From the very being of a righteous and of a holy God, that all are born in sin, all are shapen in iniquity, and all therefore are unrighteous before God. I wonder, is there one tonight who is still in their sins in this gathering? God's word cannot lie to your heart tonight. If you are without Christ, realize His divine integrity. He is not a man that He should lie. Therefore, if you're still in your sins, the scriptures tell us that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, bringeth forth destruction. That's the first thing. God cannot lie. Balaam here realizes that. The scriptures clearly say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The second thing in the verse 19 here that the false prophet is made to realize by the Holy Spirit is this. God's divine immutability. Verse 19b says, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. There is no change in God's own eternal mind and purposes. Therefore, because there is no change in the eternal mind, In the eternal purpose of God, there is no change in His eternal covenant. God's divine immutability. There is no change in our God. You know, there are some in this day and in this generation, and they believe that when it comes for the time that they must die, when they will stand before a holy and a righteous God, that somehow they think to themselves that they will be accepted in that great judgment day, that somehow God will change His mind, that somehow God will let them enter into heaven. Here we see expressed clearly tonight that God is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent. Scriptures clearly say that sin must be punished, and sin will be punished. And if sin is not covered by the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that great propitiation for sin, if it's not covered by that atonement, the once offering of Christ for sins forever, if you reject the offer of God's mercy found in Christ, when you stand before God on that great judgment day, His divine immutability will judge you, and you will be judged in your sin. Therefore, you must repent and believe the gospel. So we see here Balaam is made to express God's divine integrity. He is made to express God's divine immutability. Thirdly, in the verse 19 there, he is made to express God's divine intention for His people. We're told in the latter part of the verse 19, "Hath He said, and shall He not do it?" Therefore, what God has intended to do for His people will not fail. Rest assured tonight, dear believer, in the God of your salvation. What God has intended to do for you in Christ will not fail. Will not fail in time. Will not fail in God's eternity. And thus, when the enemy comes against God's people, when the enemy would seek to come in like a flood, it is these tremendous truths about God's nature and His purpose for us, His people, that will strengthen our very souls in the face of adversity. In Daniel chapter 11 and the verse 32, we have these tremendous words: "It is the people that do know their God that shall be strong and do exploits." And therefore, it is to be the portion, the lot of the child of God, to get to know their God, to understand who He is, to understand what He hath accomplished in Christ for us, understand His divine integrity. He cannot lie. He will not lie to His people. His word is truth. Realize His divine immutability. There is no change in our God, the God of our salvation. And realize His divine intention for us. And therefore, child of God, learn the Scriptures. Study to find these great truths about our God and His purpose to bless His people, that we may resist the devil in these days, and by recognizing all of his curses can not and will not harm you. Romans chapter 8, as we finish this first point tonight, our tremendous words, Romans 8 and the verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." So we see here tonight, first and foremost, that God's purpose for His people is irreversible, cannot be changed because of who God is. And therefore, sinner tonight, you must also realize that you will one day, if you reject Christ, will be judged because of your sin. That sin that will take you to a lost eternity. Notice secondly tonight that God's pardon for His people is immeasurable. God's pardon for His people is immeasurable. We find that tonight in the verse 21. It says there that He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath He seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord His God is with Him, and the shout of a king is among them. We must remember tonight that it was the objective of the enemy to have God's people cursed. The goal of the enemy was that the sin of Israel would bring down upon them the desired curse that they sought. And certainly we must realize tonight that Israel was guilty of much sin. Israel had sinned much against their God, as the book of Numbers records and would show to us if we had time to read it. Records for us Israel's rebellions against God. Records for us Israel's disobedience against God. Their continual murmuring against Moses, and therefore their continual murmuring against God. Yet Balaam here is made to declare this tremendous truth in the verse 21, the immeasurable pardon that God bestows upon his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. This text declares that this people's sin was not beheld. It was not seen. Rather, it was covered. Covered by an atonement, found alone in the great sacrifice for sins forever, in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that is why God's people are justified before him. It is because of what Christ hath accomplished on their very behalf. That's why it will be well with the people of God on the great judgment day, because they are clothed in the garments of Christ's spotless righteousness. In Micah in the chapter 7, we have some tremendous truths in the verse 18. It says there of Israel, who is a God like unto thee, who pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abram, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. We've already given the text out tonight. Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none of us exempt from that tonight. We all have sinned against God. And therefore we all should be punished before him. But what does Romans 8 and the verse 1 say? Romans 8 and the verse 1 declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are found in Christ Jesus. And that is what makes the difference tonight. To be found in Christ, saved by grace alone, there the condemnation is removed, because our sins and our iniquities were laid upon him. And he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a tremendous truth tonight. The great substitutionary work of Christ on the cross on behalf of his people, offering himself as that great sacrifice for sins forever. That you and I who believe in him, that you and I who trust in him, might not be condemned in that great judgment day, but might be saved from the wrath to come. In Numbers chapter 23 and the verse 10, we have some tremendous truths, even that Balaam is made to declare there. And he makes the declaration there that God's people are a righteous people. For he says there, let me die the death of the righteous. Balaam here realizes that God's people are a righteous people. He realizes that the people of God have something that he has not. And he makes the statement that when it comes to his death, he wants to die like the people of God. But the great error that he makes is that he does not live the life of the righteous. And it is while here in the hour of grace, in the time of God's mercy, that we are to seek to flee from the wrath to come. It is now that we are to repent and believe the gospel. You know, all our righteousness in and of ourselves are but filthy rags. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We are dressed in the righteousness of our own filthy rags. And in this we are before God. And if we are to stand before God in our own filthy righteousness, we will be cast into hell for all of God's eternity. Therefore we must stand before him clothed in the righteousness of another. The righteousness of one who is perfect. The righteousness of one who is without sin. Who is that? That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And therefore, for those who realize the awfulness of their sin, realize the depravity of their sin, realize the awful condition of their fallen nature before God, when they realize that this sin problem must be dealt with, this problem that is within them, and when they flee to Christ and trust in Him, He imputes by faith to them His perfect righteousness. And it is in His perfect righteousness that we stand justified before a holy and before a righteous God. Balaam here is declaring that the people of God possess an immaculate righteousness imputed to them by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Balak here, he sees no good in Israel. He can see nothing good in Israel whatsoever. This man who is in sin, he sees nothing good in Israel, and he seeks to curse them. But God, through Christ, sees no iniquity in Israel. And that's the truth that we must realize tonight, that He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath He seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord His God is with Him, and the shout of a king is among them. God, who sees all things, the God of glory, who beholds all things, cannot behold any sin in those who trust in Christ. You must realize tonight that to escape God's wrath, to escape God's judgment in that great judgment day, you must be saved. You must be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You must trust in Him, Him who was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I trust tonight that you will not be like Balaam. You who are in your sin, you sit tonight like Balaam. You sit beside the people of God, beside God's covenant people. But the difference is, Balaam here was outside of the camp of Israel. He was outside of God's covenant people. And therefore the wrath of God was rather upon him. God was with His people, for He was in the midst of them. You tonight must realize that to be saved, you must be one of God's people. Therefore, as we have said tonight, God's purpose for His people is irreversible, and God's pardon for His people is immeasurable. And I trust tonight that you will realize this tremendous truth, that the God of glory is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? And of His people He says, He hath not beheld iniquity in you, neither hath He seen perverseness in you. Why? Because of what Christ hath accomplished on the cross. And I trust tonight that you will not be like Balaam, and you will not use these words, "Let me die the death of the righteous." There are many today who would seek to die as one who is saved, who would seek to go to be with God in heaven. And that's their only aim. They only want to be in heaven. They don't want to live the life of the righteous. But while in the hour of grace, while now, here in this earth, you must believe God's offer of mercy. You must trust in His only sacrifice for sin. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one alone who can save your never dying soul. One day you must stand before God, the one with whom you must do. And therefore tonight I pray that you would even flee from the wrath to come and get under the precious blood, clothed in His perfect righteousness, therefore accept it before God on high.